All right, good morning. Let us continue. I'm sorry that we're getting started a few minutes late, but let's continue. So, Meretz Hashem, today we are going to finish up the Sados. So, if you remember, again, we ended off last class with what I thought was, hopefully you found it to be an intriguing Maral as well, right? The Maral highlighting this incredible yisod that the world was created deficient. Hashamayim shamayim la Hashem, the aretz nasam livnei adam, the only perfection that there is to be found in this world, ultimately, again, is from the Ribono Shel Olam, or is with the Ribono Shel Olam. Anything that is Ba'aretz, by definition, is deficient. So if you remember, again, the Maral also used this pasuk to explain, or this concept to explain, Ein Adam Tzadik Ba'aretz. If you are Ba'aretz, if you are on the earth, if you are in this world, then by definition, there is deficiency. This is an incredibly important Hashkafic idea as well, because it helps us to create realistic expectations for ourselves as well as for others. But we left off with the fundamental question, which is, why would the Ribono Shel Olam create an imperfect world? In other words, I understand, but why the creation of imperfection? Why create something that bedafka isn't finished? And I want to point out, meaning, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach us a lesson. Because remember, let's go back to the entire episode of the creation of the trees. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have just created trees that produce fruit. The trees taste like trees, the fruit tastes like fruit, and Shalom Yisrael. We would have never known the difference. The fact that the Torah HaKadosh goes out of its way to tell us first fruit trees that taste like fruit, and then trees that taste like, I should say it differently, eight pri o sepri, and then only eight o sepri, is obviously there to teach us a lesson. So if I were to ask you, what's the lesson? What would you say? What's the lesson? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create an imperfect world? Excellent, so we could have Bechira, excellent, because the truth is, maybe in a state of perfection, everything becomes so obvious. Everything becomes so obvious in Bechira, excellent, good. So, beautiful answer also, meaning maybe it could be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to help us out, because the truth is, so many of us live with the perfection, with the anxiety of not being perfect. And we create these expectations of ourselves. Sometimes, again, some people create, external expectations of perfection. Some people create internal expectations of perfection. And the truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us measured expectations. You know, sometimes the most important thing in every life relationship is to have realistic expectations, right? It's no different than no parent would ever be disappointed in their 3-year-olds for being unable to do algebra, right? No, I'm so disappointed. My child's mom is such a waste of talent, right? No, it's why? Because the expectation is not there. So many times in relationships, there's disconnect because there aren't shared expectations. So if I'm in a relationship with Reuven and I expect A and he delivers B, but he didn't know what A was, he didn't know my expectations of him. But this is incredibly important also in the realm of marriage and other life relationships, because so many times shalom bayis issues are created because people sometimes think that in a marriage, your husband should know exactly what you're thinking, right? That if you love me, then you definitely know. No one knows what you're thinking except for two people or two entities, and they are you and the Ribono Shel Olam. No human being is the Bochin Levavos. This is very important because so many times people are hurt in a relationship because why didn't you know? Why didn't you know? Why didn't you know what I was thinking? Why didn't you know what it is that I needed? And the simple answer is, never expect anyone to know what you're thinking. No one knows what you're thinking. But what you can do is articulate your expectations. If you say, I need you to do this, I need you to be this, I need you to be here. If you articulate, then ultimately, if the person who you're in a relationship loves you, they want to meet that expectation. But it's incredibly important. You cannot assume that people, even if they love you, even a parent, right? Even a parent who raises a child, and probably no one knows intuitively what another human being needs more than a parent, especially a mother, right? Just knows intuitively what their child needs. But even a parent, at a certain point in time when the child grows up, a parent can't intuitively know what an adult child or an older child requires. You have to communicate expectations or communicate needs. So very beautiful. So perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, he's communicating to us, I don't expect perfection from you. He's articulating it. He's giving us not only a life lesson, but also a relationship lesson. I'm communicating to you the expectations from the relationship. I expect you to be great. I expect you to accomplish a lot. I expect you to try to avoid many of the pitfalls of existence, but I do not expect you to be perfect. Excellent. Good. Any other thoughts? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu create an imperfect world? Right? I'm just saying, does this question bother you, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an imperfect world? I'm going to take your deafening silence as a yes. Right? Meaning, of course it does. Because remember, this is a theological crisis every day. We see things happening in the world, and I can't for the life of me understand why you are doing this. We see people who are sick. We see people who suffer. We see people who seem to be terrible people, being incredibly successful. We see a whole variety of things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I look around and I always see imperfection. I believe you run the world, so okay, Gan Zlatova, but I don't understand it. Right? You've never had a thought in your mind where you think you're davening for someone for whatever the crisis is, right? It could be refuah, it could be parnos, it could be shidduchim. You could do anything. You could do anything. It's not even a snap of the fingers. It's nothing. You could cure this person. You could give this person their zivuk. You could give this person a child. You can give this person parnasa. It's no sweat off your back. So we see these perfections all the time. Yes? That is true, but remember, even when that is absolutely true. It could just be the function of Gavus, but it doesn't help me understand the why. I'm asking, remember, before Gavus, before anything, we're talking about now in creation. Right, so before there was any of this, right, I agree, it could be that part of the Gavus dynamic is suffering with this inability to understand why the Ribono Shel Olam does things. And especially when you see that the divine will appears sometimes to cause so much human suffering. That's godless. But again, we're talking over here in the creation of the world. So in the creation of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already said, the world's not perfect. The world's not perfect. It's just interesting, right? Imagine you set out to do a project, right? And, you know, you set out from the beginning, you say, you know what? Hinni Mucha Muzuman, this project is not going to be perfect. Right? This is going to be like a B level project, like a C level project. But I'm not people will give you, that's crazy. I don't know. If that happens, that's one thing. You put in your effort, the result's okay. But to start out mitchila saying, no, I don't want perfection. I just want it to be good. When you don't have to settle for good, there must be something deeper. So any other thoughts? Yes. So excellent. Obviously, on the most basic level, if everything is perfect, then why does man need God? So it could be that the imperfections are what drive us to the Ribono Shel Olam, which we know, which is unequivocally true. Meaning, Ein Dome, one cannot compare a relationship that you have with Hashem when you have an acute need to a relationship that you have with Hashem when everything in life is going great. It's just human nature. Human nature is when I need Hashem more, the connection, right? You've ever had those moments in life? It's interesting. I had a situation like this not so long ago where there was a real crisis. And I found, went on for about a week or so, and I found that everywhere I went, I was carrying Tehillim. It's funny because I teach for WIT, a course on Tehillim for a number of years now. I'm not always there are some people like that are go-to Tehillim people, like you're in an elevator, they're waiting, they take out Tehillim. I'm not that pious. But I found myself in this matzav, always saying Tehillim. And then Baruch Hashem, situation resolved, everything was great. And I'll tell you something interesting. Then it was over, and I found myself, I said, wow, you know, this is going to sound very strange. I miss the crisis. I don't miss the actual crisis, but I miss how I felt during that crisis. Because in those moments, I had no power over this circumstance. No power at all. It was mamish bidei Hashem. And that feeling of being wholly and totally dependent on the Ribono Shel Olam, that helplessness was a kirva, was a closeness that I don't know I'd ever really ever felt. And then you would think the crisis was resolved, incredible, and it was resolved Latova, incredible. And I couldn't, for some, it's a chisaron in me, but I didn't get that feeling back. I still tried to keep the Tehillim with me, lasted for about 3 days. But you know, after that feeling of connection, in that moment of tzara, I couldn't reconnect. Now, do I want more tzaras? No. But it is interesting to note that the nature of the human condition is, I think if most of us kind of think about, you're very young still, Baruch Hashem, but as you go through life, I think that you will find that sometimes the most intense moments of connection are those moments when you encounter the imperfection of the world in such a dramatic way. So there is no question that imperfection yields relationship. Excellent, good. Any other thoughts? Why create an imperfect world? Yes?
I have an extra question.
Sure.
Even if Hashem wanted to create the world perfect and the tree would have been tasting like fruit, we still would need Hashem.
Oh, of course.
I don't
know if that's true. I mean, again, it's obviously there's no way to answer that question because we don't know. But I think if you look at the nature of the human condition, most people, quote unquote, need Hashem more when there's imperfection in their life. And they perceive that they need Hashem less when everything is going according to plan. Right? You don't usually see people breaking down in tears in the middle of Shemona Esrei for brachas that they have. But you will find that when they're encountering tzar. I think it's just the nature of the human condition. It's by the way, it's the same thing with any life relationship. You appreciate your parents more when you really need them. You appreciate your loved ones more when you really need them. When you don't need them as much, I love them, of course, I appreciate them, but it's different. So I don't know. Could it have been the same if the world was created perfect? From the perspective that I look at the world now, I would think not. But of course, it's impossible to give a definitive answer like that. Any other thoughts? Why did Hashem Baruch Hu create an imperfect world? Yes?
It's more like a comment, but I feel like what would be the point of him to create a perfect world? Like, it's like if you're reading a cereal and everything is going perfect, like, what's the point of it? Something needs to be happening. Like,
right. But no, go ahead. What do you mean? What's the purpose? So go ahead. Oh. What's the point? So let excellent. So let's build on this for just a moment, because Brucha Shekivant, you're like a word or two away to be mechavin to the Derech Hashem. So Derech Hashem writes in number 7, says as follows. That gets a psh. That definitely gets a psh. Okay. So now listen to this. The Alkein Gazer V'Sider Sheivru Inyanei Shleimus V'Inyanei Chisar. Derech Hashem writes, why Achadish Baruch Hu? Why are you creating an imperfect world? Why are you creating some things that are complete, some things that are deficient? V'tavra ber yashia ba'efsharus l'shnei ha'anyonim b'shavah. V'yitnu leber ya emtsoim sha'al yodam tikna li'atzmo es ha'shlimus v'tedar mimeno es ha'chesronos. So let me tell you the rest of this outside. What the Derech Hashem goes on, I only quoted to a very small part over here, and Rav Avraham Yisrael Cohen Cook actually quotes this Derech Hashem in his introduction to Oros HaTshuvah. And essentially, what he develops, kind of using Rav Cook's interpretation of the Derech Hashem, is the imperfections in this world create for us the opportunity to partner with the Ribono Shel Olam. Meaning, as was mentioned, imagine if everything was perfect. So you're right, the world is not here for entertainment, but remember, if everything was perfect, then what am I doing here? So I'm here, I'm in this world. What's my job? What am I doing here if the fruit trees taste like fruit? If everything is perfect, so Derech Hashem says something amazing. He says, the Ribono Shel Olam created an imperfect world because those imperfections are the way he invites me to partner with him in my Sebereshis. To partner with him in building. So it's almost kivyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu purposely left certain things unfinished, certain things in a state of disrepair, certain things broken, certain things imperfect, and he invites me, go fix it. Partner with me. I did my part, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I created the world. I created man. For 6 days, I created anything and everything that you will find in this world. But if you can't be a spectator in life, you can't be a spectator. You must be a partner. And isn't this an incredible thing? Because the Melech Machay Amlochim, understand the privilege, The Ribbono Shel Olam invites us to be partners in the creation of the world. You see, what's interesting is as follows. When Adam HaRishon is created, sometimes you can get the feeling that Adam was created almost as a spectator. Now, we know that's not true from the first word of Hashem, who says to him, La'avda u'lishamra. Adam is invited to work. He's invited to do something. But if you look at, remember again, Adam was created on the sixth day. Why? Right, because right, Rashi quotes, I don't know if it's a Gemara or a Medrash, but Rashi, Hashem Baruch Hu wanted him to come into a world that had a shulchan orech, a set table. Hashem Baruch Hu didn't want Adam HaRishon living through construction. He didn't want to, right? If you have to live through construction, it's very uncomfortable, right? This day, today, you could use this room. Tomorrow, you could use that. Hashem Baruch Hu didn't want that. Come into a world that is fully finished. So you look at that, you say, well, Adam's a spectator. So what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu purposely leaves things unfinished and imperfect, and those imperfections become man's invitation to partner with the Ribbono Shel Olam in the creative process. Now, when you begin to look at the world this way, one's entire worldview shifts. So suddenly every imperfection is an invitation. Every imperfection is an opportunity to partner with the Ribbono Shel Olam in an effort to somehow, some way, make the world a little bit better. Take a look at number 8 on your sheet. There's an incredible Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Histakel b'shlosha dvarim. Look at three things. Look at three things and you will not come to sin. What are the three things? Know what is above you. Right? Literally, again, a watchful eye, an attentive ear, and all of your words all of your deeds are recorded in a sefer, in a book. What's the message of the Mishnah? Basic message of the Mishnah. Right, Chodesh Baruch Hu is watching. Right, really, when we look at this Mishnah is really telling me, be on your best behavior. Be on your best behavior, because you know, sometimes, we know, all of us, have a public face and a private face. That's just the way human beings are. We have the persona that we project, and the persona we have behind closed doors. Hopefully, the goal in life is to be tocho kibaro, is to be a genuine person, and to pretty much those same images line up. But very often, they're very different, right? The public persona I put on might be different than the personal persona. And a person might think, as long as the public persona is kasher and yashar, that's enough. No, da malamala limcha, right? Be careful, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu sees everything, hears everything, and everything is recorded. There is no such thing as a meaningless act or gesture in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything is significant by Hashem. But I'll show you something amazing. So again, the Mishnah is a very powerful idea. Ultimately, again, because the Mishnah allows for me to go ahead and be cognizant and vigilant about how I live. Everything I do, everything I say is recorded and is meaningful. Which I want to point out, sometimes we look at this Mishnah and it sounds like the Ribbono Shel Olam is mamish, like it's not painting a picture of a vengeful God. Sana Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, oh, everything you do is recorded, be careful. It's actually just the opposite. It's that Kodesh Baruch Hu loves me so much that, let me say it differently. You ever have a person in your life who, when they talk, you generally, your mind tends to go elsewhere? All right, again, once again, you're a very righteous group. There are people, right? I know this person. Person's going to talk uninterrupted without taking a breath for 13 and a half minutes. I just know. And I have to listen, so I'm going to smile, I'm going to nod, I'm going to insert an occasional, you know, in the middle, so that. But like, if you ask me afterwards, they said, I don't know. And it's because again, they're just going to, just, so there are people like that when they talk, you know, unfortunately, it might not be all that substantive. And so, I'm just going to let them talk, let them do their thing, because that's proper midos. So you might have thought that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care about what you do. Maybe the little things, or what you say, or what you... But the Mishnah is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us so much, and we are so important, that we go ahead and He hears everything. It's a demonstration of love. You know, today, it's, you know, Baruch Hashem, we had our first grandchild about 7 months ago. Baruch Hashem. And it's amazing, because my daughter and son-in-law, so like, they video everything, right? They picture everything. every single thing. The baby ate a Cheerio, mamish. It's like, you know, but it's why? What, and you look at that, you say, like, okay, you could get like one picture of the Cheerio. I don't know that you need every single picture of the Cheerio, right? Why? Because it's important. Because it's important. Because when a parent has that child, every single thing that child does, from the first step to when she holds herself up to the first Cheerio, everything is significant. What the Mishnah is saying is, the Ribono Shel Olam loves us. Ayin Roa, Ozen Shomas, V'chol Ma'asecha B'Seif Menichtavin means, Kadosh Baruch Hu watches every single thing that I do, not because He wants to patch me, not because He's getting angry, so He's looking to strike me down, just the opposite. He cares about, He loves me. He's taking pictures of every single Cheerio. And He's concerned with every single thing. He wants to hear, what are my words? What am I saying? Not because he's Silver Spoke Lashon Hara, another one, that's four times for today. No, because He's genuinely interested in what I'm talking about and what I'm involved in. And He records all of my deeds because every single thing that I do is significant in the eyes of the Ribono Shel Olam. So, but yet, take this Mishnah a little bit further. I think so the Mishnah is very inspiring. I think we often understand it in the wrong way. But it's actually, I think, very inspiring and very uplifting. But if you take a look at number 9, Talbis Yaakov Yosef says something so beautiful. This is Rav Yaakov Yosef of Ponoi, who was the Talmud Mufak of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. See, he says something amazing. He says, number 9, Lepamim Merov Anova Ha'adam Misrachik Me'avodas Habori Ki Biyosa Shofa Baruchho So the Talmud Zakaria says something amazing. He says, sometimes, you know, humility generally is assumed to be a good midah. Humility is a good midah, except when it's not. What do I mean by that? That sometimes a person can be so humble that they think they don't matter. They think they don't matter. So I should have kavana when I daven. Okay, and if I don't, what's going to happen? The sky's going to fall, right? And if I don't, what? The rain's not going to come? Or I know I'm supposed to learn Torah, okay? And if I don't, I'm supposed to do chesed, and if I don't? So we often view the things that we do as very nice, but at the end of the day, kind of inconsequential. I don't move the universal needle all that much, right? What I do or what I don't do doesn't matter all that much. So look what he says. But if we actually knew, says the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, how everything we do has a dramatic impact, how every single thing we do moves the universal needle, how every single thing we do has an impact, not just on us, and not just on those around us, but ultimately, again, in the entire world, how careful and how vigilant we would be with how we conduct our lives. Look at the last paragraph. Says the Talmud Yaakov Yosef, this was the message in the Mishnah. V'zeh sha'atana mezareis, do, Adam, ki koma shalemala, kala shefa ha'olyonim, b'tzvos ha'olyonim, hu mimcha. So but first of all, this happens to be a beautiful reading of the Mishnah. That the Mishnah says, do malamala mimcha. See, the beautiful part in the great Hasidic masters is it's all about where you put the punctuation. Right? So we normally read it as Da Malam Alam Mimcha, know what is above you. So the Rebbe says that's not how you read it. It's Da semicolon. Know the following. Mashalamala Kama Mimcha. Everything that occurs by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything that occurs in the celestial sphere, Mimcha, is from you. It's from you. You matter. The koach that exists by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not the koach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the koach that exists in the Pamal Yoshal Malam, in the celestial seer, the koach of the Malachim, Malam Malo, that which is the Elyon Elyon in Shamayim, Mimcha, is because of you. That what you do matters. That what you do is significant. That what you do makes a difference. Now, what does that mean? Let's tie this back to the Maaseh. Hashem created an imperfect world. Hashem created an imperfect world. And why did He create that imperfect world according to Derech Hashem? Why? Why? To allow us to partner. It's all partnership. The Ribono Shel Olam does not want spectators. Does not want spectators. You know, even if you look at the way we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, different religions have different ways of serving, but in many religions, people show up to a house of worship, They sit and they listen. They sit in their passive. Jews never sit and listen to anyone, right? What do we do when we daven? Right? This one's this voice. This one's loud. This one's low. This one's moving. This one's this. There's a Hashem wants partnership. He doesn't want spectators. He doesn't want people who sit back and relax. That's not what he wants. He wants people who are willing to partner with him in the building of a beautiful world. So now perhaps that's what the Mishnah is saying as well. So remember, Histaka b'shol shorom yatava de'avera. Duh, mala mala mimcha. So number one says, told Yaakov Yosef, no, that everything that occurs above is from you. But perhaps what the Mishnah is saying is like this. Therefore, if I recognize that my tachlis in this world is to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Ribono Sha'olam created, you know, there's a, I don't know if you ever heard this name, Rabbi Elimelech Goldberg. He started an organization called Kids Kicking Cancer. It's an incredible thing where he's like a karate master also, and he somehow uses like martial arts to teach children who are terminally ill about controlling their breathing, about managing their pain. So he has a, I forgot the name of the book, but he has a great line in the book. He said, God created an imperfect world perfectly. God created an imperfect world perfectly. The imperfections are by design. And the imperfections are by design because they allow us to partner. And therefore, look what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah says, as you go through life, histakel b'shlosha devarim, look at three things. What three things? Ayin roa. Ayin roa, now we normally think ayin roa is referring to who? Who's ayin? Who's ayin? The Ribon Shalom, Hashem Baruch Hu sees. Perhaps the Mishnah is saying is like this. Ayin roa, if you see something, do something. You know, sometimes we see a situation of disrepair. We see something that is broken in life. What do we often do when we see something broken? What do? We krecht. Oh, so sad. So sad. And then what happens? Oh, I'm hungry. Let me go for lunch, right? In other words, that like, we go ahead and we krecht. We sad. Okay, then we move on. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you to see something that is broken, that is because you have the ability to do something about it. Now again, what you can do is dependent on circumstances. Sometimes what I could do is I could roll up my sleeves and actually help. Sometimes I see someone or something that is broken and I don't have to walk by. I can sit there and I can go ahead and actually try to fix the particular situation. Sometimes I see something broken and maybe the only thing for me to do is to daven. There are different meaning. There are different things, but one thing is clear. Whenever you see something that is broken, if you see it, you know what happens when you see something broken? The Ribono Shel Olam was whispering in your ear. It's an invitation to partner. Come partner with me. I created a world. I created the imperfect world perfectly. And I created the imperfections because I'm inviting you not to be a spectator. I'm inviting you to come and join me. So join me. You see something broken, don't krechts and move on. But try to do something to fix it. Try to do something to make a difference. Ozen shoma'as. If you hear about something that is broken, if you hear of something that is in a state of disrepair, don't again say, oh, so sad, and move on with your life. If you see something broken, if you hear something broken, do something. Because whenever you see the brokenness in this world, it is an invitation from the Ribono Shel Olam to help. I did my part, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. I built an imperfect world. I left things undone so that you, man, should be able to partner with me in the creative process. Look how the Mishnah ends. The Chol Ma'asecha B'Sefer Nechtavin means what? At the end of the day, after 120, do you know what we're judged based on? How much did you partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fix a broken world? The Chol Ma'asecha B'Sefer Nechtavin. At the end of the day, the litmus test of a successful life is how much did I partner with the Ribono Shel Olam in order to fix or to remedy the imperfections of this world. That is the Tachlis Ha'adam. The Ribono Shel Olam created an imperfect world perfectly. The imperfections are the invitation for us to step up and do something. And again, I can't say enough, doing something is always relative. Sometimes doing something literally means something physical. Sometimes something just means something spiritual. But whenever you see something broken, whenever you hear of something broken, I have a moral, religious, spiritual obligation to step up and do something. For that is the purpose for which I was created. Because otherwise, Kadosh Baruch Hu could have just made a perfect world. It's certainly within his yichola, certainly within his ability. And if we tie this all together, remember again when we started, is this our third class on the Sados? Yeah, I think it's our third class on the Sados. So remember again when we started this, go back to number one on your sheets for just a moment. So remember again, we started again with the Sados Omrim. What do the fields say? Hashem bichachma yasadars. Our entire mahalich in the Sados was, what's the wisdom? What's the wisdom that the earth tries to convey? And now we understand the wisdom of the earth essentially is Hashem created an imperfect world perfectly. Because remember again, the earth did not comply with the Ratzon Hashem. The Ratzon Hashem was Eitz Pri Oseh Pri. That was the Ratzon Hashem, so to speak. And remember again, what did Rashi say? V'hi lo asta kein. The earth did not comply. Earth doesn't have bechira. But the earth was the vehicle through which this message of imperfection was birthed into the world, birthed into the universe. The wisdom of the earth, the bechachma yasad aretz, was Hashem created an imperfect world perfectly. Why? The imperfections are there to allow us to partner. What you hear, when you hear imperfections, when you see imperfections, hear the whisper of the Ribbono Shel Olam inviting you to partner in the creative process. And what a different way to look at the tzaras that we all see. Everybody sees tzaras each and every day. Whether you see tzaras within, you know, your more immediate Dalet Ames Chas V'Shalom, or you see tzaras in the greater world, not a day goes by that we don't see something that's broken. Well, how do you deal with the broken things that you see? Again, do you krechts and then just walk on? Or do you say, Ribbono Shel Olam is inviting me to help partner in the creative process to remedy some of the imperfections. That is the chokhmah, is the wisdom of the arts. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. Emir Tzashem, we will continue next week. I think we might transition a little bit to Perek Beis, to maybe, we're going to know a little bit out of order, but Emir Tzashem will continue. Actually, next week, when is Tanis Esther? On Thursday. So we have regular class next week. All right, so maybe what we'll do is maybe we'll do one class on Purim, Emir Tzashem, and we'll find a Perek Shira tie-in somehow. But we'll continue Emir Tzashem next week. Of course.